following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Tin Hut present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring of our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturday at 4 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcast also heard on WPEN FM 97.5-HD2.
And I didn't see the tripwires they had set out there, but I hit a tripwire and set off, I don't know what kind of explosive device.
Big blast, a big bright light, and that was it.
Were you unconscious?
No.
So you're still...
I'm still awake.
And they tell me it was Army, Vietnam, and he was ordered. The Lieutenant Colonel told this sergeant, this Catholic boy, sergeant, to throw the con.
Out of the helicopter.
Yeah, they throw him off the helicopter.
Hi, I'm Bob Seegers. I'm a Cobra Attack helicopter pilot from Vietnam. I'm going to be joining Father Jim on Rock and Roll Reveille on WWDB AM 860. Please tune in.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me it ain't no use in trying. My little girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, you're gonna die before your time is due. See my daddy in bed dying, see his hair.
Remember, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so proud today. This is going to be a great, I don't mean a good show, a great show with Dr. Alan Davies and his co-host and guest and co-writer, Dennis Kirvin. I'm so excited. And the song you're hearing is Billy Carlucci. Who better than Billy Carlucci can sing?
That's me. I'm singing today.
Let's go back because we're going to have a lot of memories on this show. And then Matt Hoffman there, Sergeant First Class Matthew Minarik,
yes. It's good to be here with you, Father Jim, like always.
I love you. Get back to the music. Well, Oh, this is beautiful. What do you hear this? This is a song about doctors. Doctors who saved lives. Who saved lives in combat. This show is dedicated to you, veteran. To you. Our number is 888-329-3306. Call in Peter Hook. I hope you're listening. The head chaplain of the VFW, National and State Pennsylvania. It's going to be a wonderful show today, and I want to share with the music in the background that I have two guests to start the show off. Last week, I was blessed to be with Heroes, with John Quintrell, who wrote the book, My 365 Days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam. His son Tim was there, Chuck Moore was there, and a Cobra pilot named Bobby Seegers. Bobby, if you're on the air, on the line right now, I'd like to have you say hello to the Philadelphia audience and share what the reunion meant to you, and then we're going to bring Johnny on. I love you all.
Hi, my name is Bob Seegers, and I'd like to thank Father Drucker for inviting me.
No, he's supposed to be on the air now. Oh.
Can you hear me?
Oh. Oh, my God, I thought you were being recorded. Go back on, Bobby.
Hey, my name is Bob Seegers, and I'd like to thank Father Drucker for inviting me on his Rock and Roll Reveille show today. It was an honor to meet Father Drucker as I recently met him at a Wolfhound reunion in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a little over a week ago. It was a great reunion, as always, and I'm also, like Father Drucker, an honorary Wolfhound. In Vietnam, I was a Cobra attack helicopter and flew countless missions in support of the Wolfhounds. So for me to say, this is an understatement, but Wolfhounds are true heroes in my eyes. And every year when we have a reunion, it's a great way to just to stay in touch with people and just rehash old things that we used to do and, you know, just make new memories.
That's great, Bobby. Listen, it was a blessing meeting you and Chuck Moore, two Cobra pilots, attack pilots, in Vietnam, 68, in the year that Johnny was there, Quintrell. And Johnny's on the phone with us right now. Johnny, chime in. It was a wonderful reunion. Thank you for inviting me and making and honoring me as an honorary Wolfhound.
Well, you know, Father Drucker, it goes even farther than that. You're not only an honorary Wolfhound, you are our honorary Wolfhound chaplain. And you played such an important part at this reunion. There were several people that were able to get you aside and talk to you and about things like that. And it just was such a delight. We had a lot of fun. A lot of people may not know your humor, how funny you are, but you're one of the funniest men I know. And I want to just say two words about Bob Seegers. On February 28th, or 23rd, 1969, Diamond Fire Support Base got overrun by two battalions of NVA, and Bob Seegers flew in with his Cobra helicopter and shut the entryway that they were coming through to overrun the fire support base. It was because of him that we were able to keep the entire regiment out of the fire support base. He said that the Wolfhounds are heroes to him. Well, let me tell you something, Father. We all think that the Cobra pilots and the helicopter pilots, the medevac pilots, they are just the best.
Johnny, I'm crying here on the air. I'd like to have Dr. Davies say hello to you on this 10,000-watt AM station, 30,000-watt FM, PENFM. Doctor, say hello to John Quintrell and to Bobby Seegers, Cobra pilot.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, John. This is welcome to Chulai. I was pretty close to you guys, and I, I never got a chance to fly in those fancy Cobras. It was always the old Hueys for me.
Well, good to hear your voice, Dr. Davies.
Thank you.
It's Bob Seegers, by the way. I'm sorry.
Okay, Bob. Yes.
And we have with us also a co-author, if I'm correct, I may be incorrect in saying, Leslie, Dennis Skirvin, Vietnam veteran, who's been with us on two shows. What wonderful shows they were. So, Dennis, chime in a little bit, please. And John, stay on the line with us, and Bob, stay on the line with us, please.
It's a pleasure to be here again, Father, and I certainly thank you, and it's an absolute honor to be with Dr. Davies and work with him on this wonderful book he did, The Backside of the Firefight, A Surgeon's Shop Notes from Vietnam. It's a terrific book.
I have a question, Dr. Davies. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel, the United States Air Force psychologist. Father Jim shared that you grew up in Avoca, Pennsylvania, where Father Jim was a rock disc jockey at Mighty 590 Warm Radio. Please share with our audience your childhood life and your early years growing up, my friend.
Remember, you heard it. I'll bet you danced to it.
On the Mighty 590.
Chance to hear it again on Warmland Radio.
On the Mighty 590, Jim Drucker at Warm Radio on night flights, 12 to 6 a.m., Joey Shaver preceded, and Lynn Wallace in the Morning Mayor. Bring up that music. I love it. A-R-N. Doctor, your words and your thoughts of Warm Radio. Number one, is it hot enough for you?
Oh,
we always said it's only warm for me.
Always warm on 95.90. I remember I was about 12 years old when I first heard that, and I'll tell you that was a real treat. I thought I was in a big city. Well, I was born in 1935, sort of a child of the Depression, and in a place called Pittston, Pennsylvania, in the hard coal regions of Pennsylvania.
That's Pizza Land. Every block is a pizza parlor.
Right, pizza parlor. There were only Italian immigrants and Welshmen up there, and we worked the mines. My grandfather died in the mines 3 months after I was born. I remember one of the first things when I was a little boy, I was sitting in my mom and dad's Studebaker car. And
Studebaker, wow.
Yeah, 1941, December 7th. And I'll never forget the words of Franklin D. Roosevelt. This day will live in infamy. I've remembered that my whole life. And my boy to Indiantown Gap with the 109th Infantry. And what a treat for a young 15-year-old boy who wanted to be a soldier. Mm-hmm. I learned to drive a tank, and it was a great experience for me.
Janine?
Our phone lines are open to calls. Please call 888-329-3306. Dr. Davies, please share with our audience your medical education and background.
Well, I was fortunate enough to go to high school at a place called Wyoming Seminary.
Great
in
school.
Kingston, Pennsylvania.
Wonderful school.
Yeah, where I actually got a tremendous education, got a chance to be a high school wrestler and played a little football. And when I was there, I met a group of gentlemen who were going to go to Annapolis the next year. They were spending a year of prep school. And my roommate actually turned out to be the quarterback of the Army-Navy team for the next 4 years. And all those guys, 9 of the 11 starters I played ball with, and those
wow.
guys were in the Army-Navy game from 57 to 61. I went to Penn State. I was a chem engineer, and then wound up going to Jefferson Medical School right here at 11th and Walden.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Spent medical school there. Spent a year of internship in Houston, Texas at the Jefferson Davis Hospital with a world-famous surgeon by the name of Michael DeBakey.
It's incredible, the heart surgeon.
Yeah, very, very, probably the most well-known surgeon in the
yes.
country
yes.
And in the world. I returned to to Jefferson in 1961 for my surgical residency. The chief was Dr. John Gibbon, who performed the first open heart surgery in the world at Jefferson in 1954. And John Templeton was also a wonderful surgeon there. When I finished my general surgery at Jefferson, I was drafted and signed in at 401 North Broad. And they told me, well, we don't need thoracic surgeons right now. The war is not too hot. Why don't you go ahead and get your finisher training, which I did in Boston at the Massachusetts General Hospital with some world-famous surgeons. And I then spent another 6 months in England as a senior registrar with Sir Ronald Belsey and some very, very well-known British surgeons.
My God, what a background.
Yes, and I went from being in London in late November to Fort Sam in a week or so after that.
Texas, yeah.
In Texas, then a little ride to a place called Cameron Bay, and then the garden spot of Southeast Asia, Da Nang.
Wow, that's an amazing history. That's really something. Well, welcome home. Let's reminisce to some of the music you played in Vietnam that you loved.
Well, The Kind of Hush was one of them.
Oh, that's a great one.
And I remind the audience that every one of my guests, I ask them to pick their music that has something to do with them in their lives at the moment of time, especially when he was in Vietnam, Dr. Davies. So share the story about There's a Kind of Hush by Herman's Hermits.
Herman's Hermits, yes. That always made me feel like there was a chance that I would get back to the world again. Yeah. And those songs made me feel like I was back at Summers Point or someplace here.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, Doc, you're in Philadelphia, and you're joining the military. You fly into Vietnam, and your first thoughts, your feelings, as a doctor?
Well, I really didn't know what to expect. I had taken care of many trauma patients.
Civilian-wise.
Yeah, sure. Automobile accidents and stabbings and gunshot wounds. But I think the thing that amazed me most was the fact that you wouldn't just get one or two wounded people. You would wind up with 20 coming in the
front
door.
Like a triage situation, right?
Oh, yes, it was absolutely triage. You had to have somebody in charge that was a senior and experienced so he could designate which doctors would take which patients.
So when you arrived, did you go right to what we would call like a MASH tent, a MASH unit? Was it MASH per se, military?
Well, when I arrived, the day I arrived at Chulai, I arrived by helicopter from Da Nang, which was about 40 miles north. The Second Surgical Hospital was on a bluff on the inside of the Chulai base. My first day started at noon when we touched down, and I wound up at the front door of the Second Surgical Hospital, and I was told, hey, Davies, they need you in OR1 right away.
Wow.
And that's the story of my first day. It was called the Night of the First Day, and it was an operation that I did on a little Montagnard girl.
My
who
God.
Was wounded in the chest, and I was the new kid on the block, and then 4 hours later, I was accepted by the group because I was able to pull them out of a big hole, and thanks to my training and my experience, that little Montagnard girl lived her life.
God bless you, Doctor. Doctor, would it be like what we saw on TV with Hawkeye and, you know, the MASH series? I love that series, by the way.
Yes.
Was it similar or not?
Well,
in reality?
In some aspects it was, Father, but we were really much more down to business. You know, there was a lot of comedy. We had our own comedy, but it wasn't when we were working. When we were working, we were working. And the fact that the wounded were maybe 10 years younger than all of the docs and most of the nurses, it was just like your brother, your little brother just got hurt. Mm-hmm. And there was maximum beat-to-the-wall type action. There would be no stone unturned to try to save somebody's life.
Now, Dr. Davies, you decided to write a book, and I believe you were encouraged by one of our former guests who's with us, Dennis Skirvin, Vietnam veteran.
Yeah.
So I'd like the two of you to talk. Bring the mic between the two of you. We only have so many mics here. And I'd like you to share why you wrote the book, some of the idea. I was going to read some of the chapters, but rather than myself reading it, I'd like you both to talk about it. And then we're going to go a little bit more into more music. We have to play some rock and roll music. This is Father Jim Drucker Show, Philly's New Art Priest. So go at it, Dennis Skirvin and Dr. Alan Davies from Pittston Pizza, PA.
Well, Father, I have to admit that I'm not the only one that encouraged Dr. Davies to write his memoirs about Vietnam. His sons and others have been after him for a number of years, but... So I had a part to play in that, but thankfully he did write them because they are tremendous. And one of the things I realized when I worked with Dr. Davies, I was wounded in 68 and dusted off by a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
With the rest of our guys that were wounded. There were 16 of us or more. I forget the exact number, but we all ended up at the second surge at the first hospital where Dr. Davies was at, so I was a patient. I don't know for sure if I was a patient of his, but I was a patient of his staff and his crew. And just as he said, all serious. It was totally serious. And I remember seeing the movie MASH as a young returnee from Nam, and it wasn't my thing. I didn't particularly like it because I think they made light of what was going on, and it wasn't a subject to make light of.
Yeah, Dennis, you know, I had the same damn reaction. I was in the movie for about 5 minutes, and I turned around and walked out. But I must say that my feelings have been ameliorated over the next 50 years, and I can sometimes look at it and laugh now. But at that point, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Now listen, we're going to continue with Dr. Davies and Dennis Skirvin. We now have a vignette from Dr. Andrew Suffolk, and I want to remind everyone that this is thanks to the information from my executive secretary, Janine, that this is PTSD, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. And this particular Thursday, the 27th of June, is the actual day being picked out of the whole year. You veterans listening, if you need help, Doc's going to leave his number for you. Call him. Call him. I love you. We love you, everybody. We love you, veterans.
We love our veterans and their families.
Maybe you'll be there while maybe you'll be there while each time I see a crowd of people.
And that song is by Billy Carlucci and the Essentials, one of my heroes, who appreciates the importance of our veterans and how we've determined that post-traumatic stress disorder, one of the components of preventing it, is prayer. And permit Father Drucker and I to share with you Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty.
Who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who has stretched out the heavens like a tent,
who has laid the beams of thy chambers on the waters, who maketh the clouds thy chariot, who rideth on the wings of the wind,
who maketh the winds thy messengers, fire and flame thy ministers.
Thou dost set the earth on its foundations, so that it should never be shaken.
Thou didst cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
At thy rebuke they fled. At the sound of thy thunder they took to flight.
The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which thou didst appoint for them.
Thou didst set a bound which thy should not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth.
Thou makest springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills.
Thou give drink to every beast of the field and will assess quench their thirst.
By them the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches.
From thy lofty abode thou wearest the mountains, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy work.
Thou dost cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth.
My friends and family of veterans, it's okay to call. My number is 856-278-4042, and you can text me if you wish. And you can also contact the helpline for veterans by texting 988, and there'll be an answer from them or from me. You're valuable. We need you. God needs you.
I step down from the train, and there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me.
sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. And look around me at four gray walls that surround me, and I realize...
Dr. Davies, in the midst of horror of war and combat, how did music play into the lives of the soldiers in Vietnam, maybe even in your operating room?
Well, you know, Janine, that's a very interesting question. Vietnam was the time of A-Tracks and boom boxes and things, and we played music almost all the time because it made us think that maybe there was something else out there. But in the OR, we had four ORs, maybe five, and they were separated by four-foot-high concrete walls. And many times they would be all occupied. And we really tried to keep it as quiet as possible because this one surgeon might say, maybe John or Al Tassie was operating on a patient and would say, hey, Al Davies, I got something here I want you to see. Maybe you should come over and do this.
Yeah, like the movie Mask.
Yes.
Right. And so it was a real democratic outfit, and there weren't any real hero surgeons. We all shared the fact that we didn't know everything, and it was a teaching moment all the time. Because these wounds that we saw were wounds that you would never see in training. And so we tried to keep it as quiet as possible so that we could communicate.
So I understand that you didn't always follow the rules for keeping out of harm's way.
Well, I guess that's sort of true. We would see these chest wounds that would come in, and there's a physiological problem where the lung collapses, and it causes what they call tension pneumothorax, and a patient could die very quickly from having one lung collapse and nowhere for that air to go that collapsed it, and it could be treated very quickly with a needle or a chest tube, and in several days in a row, I saw guys come in that should have been saved immediately in the field. But
and
it wasn't.
Did they pass away, doctor?
Yeah.
Did they pass away?
Oh, they died.
Oh, God bless them.
They died. And it became readily apparent to me that I needed to be able to be in a situation where I could take care of those guys.
So you became incorrigible, I understand.
I was incorrigible because I had a bunch of buddies who were flying the helicopters the dust-offs, and I would put on my asbestos flight suit and go fly with them into the pick-up dust-off areas of the firefight, and I was able to take care of multiple cases of tension pneumothorax. I was disciplined by my commanding officer. Mm-hmm. Several times said, you know, he was going to, you want me to private and send me to Vietnam if I wasn't a good boy. So I promised not to do it again.
Hawkeye Davies.
Yeah, but I did it again. And finally, he said, you are incorrigible, Davies, and I'll tell you something. I wish I could go with you.
Oh.
In the town to see. And he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed unto the sun till we found the sea of green. And we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine.
This is Father Jim Drucker, Philadelphia's doo-wop priest, and I'll tell you, it's great being here with Dr. Davies on WWDB AM 860. Our number is 888-329-3306. When you were in the operating room, Dr. Davies, I understand how on God's earth did someone would pick a hat for the doctor to be the lead doctor to kind of lead all the rest of you in the MASH tents, or whatever you want to call them, units, and someone picked a Phillies cap?
Well, yes. I mean, I was a Philadelphia boy here.
There you go.
And the other surgeons, there was one from Columbus, Ohio, one from San Francisco, one from Calgary.
You remember any names, Doc?
Oh, yes.
Sam, mention them, please.
Yeah, Jim Waltz and Al Tassi.
God bless them.
Yes. Bob Cox from Calgary and me.
Now, how about your commander? What was his name? Was he a full bird?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there were. We had several commanders.
Was he like Potter or on the MASH unit?
Well, I'll tell you what. They were two regular.
What's his name?
Oh, there was Whitlock.
Okay.
But several of the. We had several commanding officers who. Some of them had a little trouble handling the situation.
Yeah, God bless them.
Yes, and but we had some good ones too. You know, there were regular Army surgeons involved, but I must say that the faculty at the Second Surgical Hospital was all draftees.
How about that?
Yeah.
You were not a draftee, were you?
I was drafted.
Oh, you were. You were U.S. then, because was regular Army, U.S. was draftee, and then NG for National Guard and Reserve. Yeah.
Yep.
Now listen, we have a surprise for you.
Oh my!
Are you wearing a hat there?
This is a red hat, but it's not a.
Well, let me take it off. Let me see what it. No one can see this. We're on radio.
Oh, this is
course. But anyway, he's got a hat. What's it say on it? What's Dr. Savig? What's it say?
It says America's Cup, Bermuda 2017.
No, I don't like that. Spin the mic around to Dennis Gervin, because I think Dennis has something special for you.
All right.
On the air, first time on radio.
Well, you heard about
Alan Davies.
You heard about the Phillies cap. And the Phillies cap was worn by the surgeon in charge at the second surge, so they could readily pick out who was in charge. They wore the Phillies cap. And you also heard about Dr. Davies, how he went ahead and rode the dust offs to save lives of our soldiers when he was told not to do it. And they called him incorrigible. So in honor of that and everything he's done, we've got a Phillies cap here to present Dr. Davies. And we have it monogrammed with Dr. Al Incorrigible.
It's beautiful. It's a Phillies cap, and it says Dr. Al Incorrigible. Doctor, there should be more people like you in the world, more doctors like you in the world. It'd be a much, much better fantastic world. John Quintrell, are you still with us? And Bob Seegers, what are your thoughts on this gentleman, this wonderful doctor, went into the bush, into the field to save lives?
Well, I'll tell you, Father, first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't say a special shout out to Billy, one of the greatest voices in doo-wop history. Billy, I love you.
Thank you now, so much. Appreciate that.
And I want to just, I'm going to make this short. I was one of the ones that got medevaced off and taken into the field hospital. And there was another person in my platoon that got medevaced off and was taken to that hospital. And his name's Tommy Clack. And he had both his legs blown off and an arm and a shoulder. Yeah. And when Ray and I put him on the chopper, I actually knelt down and said a prayer that he would not make it, because he was recently married, and all I could think of is his wife would see him in this condition and turn around and walk away, and nobody deserved that. Yeah. But you know what, Doc? Doctors just like you performed miracles. I honestly believe that angels had their hands on your shoulders. And Tommy Clack, of course, didn't come to this last reunion. He had he's an international inspirational speaker. Yeah. Yeah. But he will be at the next one.
Well, I got to say that the first time I ever saw that wound, I was taken aghast. But I saw it maybe 6 or 7 times, and it was amazing to me that we were able to save those guys. And they actually lived, and many of them had great lives. For some reason, they had some gift that their life really meant something.
Yep, you're absolutely correct.
Yes, but when you first saw something like that, if you were going to get PTSD, boy, you were going to get it then.
Call us, please, 888-329-3306.
Dr. Davies.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Bob Seegers, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Bob.
Yeah, let me say that I've enjoyed your stories, but it's typical of sometimes commanding officers who are so inflexible like that. But let me tell you, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for what you did, you know, jumping in on a helicopter and going out to the battle area just to save people's lives. I think that's tremendous. And I won't tell you something, I think you'd make a great Cobra pilot. I mean, you're uncompromising. You want to save lives. You want to get the job done, and you don't care how you do it as long as you get it done. So, listen, congratulations. You are a true hero, because anybody that goes above and beyond to save lives like you did in a combat situation is a true American hero.
I get older, losing my hair many years from now. Will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? By the fireside, Sunday mornings go for a ride, doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight, if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp. Joke.
Coast Guard dropped me a line stating point of view.
Dr. Davies, tell me the meaning to you of When I'm 64 by the Beatles. What did that mean to you? Why did you enjoy that song?
Well, I think I was about 32 when I heard this song in Vietnam, and I thought, boy, 64, that's an awful long way away. And so I dismissed it, but as the year went on, I thought maybe I might not get to 64.
Dr. Davies, we have an epidemic of suicides among our veterans, and I can empathize with you as a doctor, how you were treated when you returned home as a Vietnam combat veteran and combat doctor. It's hard to believe that not only did the civilian population treat you with disrespect and disdain, but unfortunately your fellow doctors treated you worse, so rudely and so viciously. Share with our audience why you wore a Hawaiian shirt to take your oral thoracic boards examination in Oakland, California.
Well, I got back from Nam. We flew into SeaTac, and the next day I went down to Oakland.
You flew into California?
I flew into SeaTac up in Washington, and then I got a jump flight down to Oakland.
Right.
I went into the hotel to register for the boards in the morning.
And by the way, why did you take the board? You were already a doctor. Was there something in the States?
This was my thoracic surgical boards. This was the specialty boards.
Okay. The story's intriguing. Listen to this story.
Yeah. As I registered, I was told by the folks there that I could not take my boards, my military uniform on. So it was either stripped down to my T-shirt and shorts, or I went out and I bought the wildest Hawaiian shirt that I could
find. Good for you.
And I put it on over my uniform and started my four oral exams. The two of the examiners, my first two, I had known. And they actually apologized to me greatly because they were the examiners. They weren't the board. The third examiner was a very famous thoracic surgeon from San Francisco. And he asked me what I would do in treating pericardial tamponade, which is a wound of the heart that fills the sac that the heart is held in with blood and shuts it down. He asked me how I would treat it, and I told him that I would treat it by opening the chest and sewing up the hole in the heart, and he told me I was absolutely wrong, that I should read his paper. And he gave me the journal article, and I said, well, I'm afraid, doctor, you should probably read my paper, which is being published next month in the Journal of Thoracic Surgery. And he said, I think that's the end of our interview.
Now, was he one of the doctors who was so rude, doctor?
Well, he was.
I can't believe that you showed up amongst your peers. It'd be like me, a priest. A combat priest veteran, meeting all my priests in the mall saying you can't wear your khakis, you can't wear your olive drab uniform. I tell them, well, you know what I tell them, I'm from South, I'm not from North Philly, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
And listen, we have a caller, Jane S. from South Philly? Yes. Jane, welcome to Rock and Roll Reveille with Dr. Alan Davies, Father Jim, and Billy, and Doc Savicki. Ashlyn's with us today, who's the granddaughter of Janine, and Dennis Skirvin. Hello, Jane. Jane? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's keep talking. She comes on.
I'm here.
Yeah, come Jane on, Jane. Come on. We're tight on time. We only have a few more minutes there.
Jane from South Philly, really appreciating the doctor. I felt like, oh, I should call in because I'm glad his sons, told him to write the memoirs. I want the name of the book. I want to make sure I have the name of the doctor.
Okay.
So I could get hold of it. How about that?
Well, let him do it right now, Jane. And thank you for calling. God bless you. Spread the word around about our show, Rock and Roll Broccoli.
Well, Jane, thank you very much for calling in. I'll have to send you a case of Rolling Rock beer for doing that. You can get the book is called The Backside of the Firefight. The backside, it's after the firefight's over, you know, it's called The Backside of the Firefight, a Surgeon's Shop Notes from Vietnam, and you can get it on Amazon and Kindle, either one.
And do I need the first name for you, Dr. Davies?
My first name is Alan, and second name is Davies.
And by the way, I did some researching, Jane. You can get the audio version for a little less, and you might want to hear the audio version, right, Doc? I believe
there's
an audio version.
All right. No, I'm 68, and I didn't really know, you know, that MASH movie. You know, I appreciate what you said about that. I didn't really know at the time when I saw it that, you know, I didn't really know, you know, it was making light. You know, I'm sorry.
Sure. Well, this is a little history and a little bit of thoracic surgery and a little bit of tears and a little bit of patriotism and a little bit of everything. So you can get it on Amazon.
Jane, thanks for listening to WWDBAM. And this is Father Jim Drucker, Rock and Roll Reveille. As we continue with a little more music, and we're going to wrap the show up a little bit. We're going to have Dee Dee on next week from the Crystals. And this is a song, Doc, you picked. Why did you pick Little Green Apples? It was a great song. Number 2 of 1968 by O.C. Smith.
It was... It just rang a bell to me. I loved the music, but I also loved the beat of the
rhythm.
The rhythm. What do you think,
Billy? That was a great record, but I didn't know you liked Green Apples that much. You eat them too, or just listen?
I eat them, but I never got a bellyache.
It's an honor to be in the same room.
Oh, I wake up in the morning with my hair down and my eyes, and she says hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand, squeezes it, and says, and I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart and see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I gotta say, oh, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss.
We only have a minute left. Chapters 31 and 32 talk about an adult elephant. What is that, Doctor? Please.
Well, the elephant in the room was the way we were treated when we got home. And the fact that not most of the American public at that time were really against the war. They were against anybody that had anything to do with the war. And so all of the guys that fought and were mashed in with everything else.
And your thoughts today. Apparently you share some thoughts in chapters 31, 32, because we only got 1 minute left.
Right.
That's yours.
In chapter 32... I revisited the picnic table. We all sat around the picnic table in the old days and talked about what happened that day and who died and whatever. And so I brought those characters back 55 years later, and we talked about what's happening in the country today and the redefinition of words and infanticide and DEI. That's not the way... The top guns are selected, you know. The top guns are selected when the last guy is alive after the fire, after the last firefight. So I think the country can come together. We need a little bit of blood transfusions and a little bit of venous reconstruction, and I think we'll be okay. So let's think about it in those terms.
Dr. Alan Davies, I love you. I love you, Dennis Girvin. Andrew Savicki, Dr. Lieutenant Colonel, sir, I love you. Billy Carlucci, I love you. Janine, I love you. Ashlyn, welcome. And Sergeant First Class Matthew, say a quick hello as we're ending the show, please.
Hello, everybody. Great show, great stories. It's fascinating.
And you were Army?
Army, yes.
E7 Sergeant First Class.
That's correct.
And you were a drill instructor?
No, I was an instructor, an AIT instructor.
Got you.
I taught the people out of basic training.
Our guest next week, prayerfully, will be Dee Dee of the Crystals, the famed Crystals with Do Run Run. And today I met the boy I'm going to marry. We're going to wrap it up with the MASH song, and I love you all. Remember to stay tuned to WWDBAM for the next show and call in every week, 4 to 5 p.m., 888-329-3306. And Jane from South Philly, thank you for the call in, and God bless you, dear. Everybody, all of us together say we love you, Philadelphia.
We love you, Philadelphia.
And support the veterans.